Hi guys, welcome to Tech Check. Sergeant here. Got Dave on the line. How's it going, Dave?
Good, Sergeant. How are you?
Good. Hey, so a lot of listeners have reached out to me in terms of questions in regards to investment. The last episode that we did, Dave, in regards to the real estate investment,
right,
was quite a hit. A lot of people had good feedback. A lot of people had good questions. And I thought I would go through some of these questions and do a rapid fire round with you. And what we can do is, if anyone has any other questions, we can do a separate episode for any of the specifics here.
Sounds good.
All right, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, what is a blue chip stock?
What is is this a quiz?
I think what the listeners want is they understand what a blue chip stock is, but why is a blue chip stock considered safer as an investment?
Well, it's a reputable company, there's intrinsic value, and it's a safer investment compared to something that is growing and it's not going to be as volatile. So that's why it's a safer investment in the long term. It doesn't fluctuate as much, and I think that's why people invest in blue chip stocks. But it can be part of like diversification, meaning out of 100%, maybe 20% of your portfolio is blue chip, and then you have some growth and cyclicals and other stocks,
Okay, so likewise, why would you want to invest in an index fund compared to individual stocks?
Because nobody's good at picking the market or the stock, and I think index funds are the safest way to participate, and at the same time don't get you don't take a beating. I don't know what stock's going to go up, and I cannot tell you what stock's going to go down, but we can all make an educated guess that I think SPX in the long term will go up at a certain rate because we have historical data. So why not just invest in a fund instead of picking stocks and being subject to volatility and losses, mm-hmm. So I love index funds. They're the safest things. They're boring. I mean, they're not as volatile as a Tesla stock or some of these other ones, but at the same time they do provide a pretty safe haven for some people, and it's easy. You don't have to do anything, but people do the work for you.
So what about trading shares versus options? Why is one better than the other, or vice versa? Why would you want to trade shares and not options, and vice versa?
Well, that's a tricky question because say if you had a portfolio and if you have shares, to hedge it against any losses, maybe you want to buy some put options as a protection. But if your goal is just to trade options, it's can be very lucrative, but at the same time it's extremely risky, and there's a good chance you're going to lose all your premiums, and the trade may not work out. So stocks, on the other hand, you don't lose everything unless the company goes bankrupt. It's two different strategies. Both are different, and I don't think you can really combine them. If anybody was, if they had a good portfolio or a good balance in their account, just to hedge it, buy a put, which most people already do. If they don't, they should. It's, on days when it's down, it will save your butt. As far as stocks goes, you don't have that. You can make it up in the long term, if you take a hit on a day or two.
So what about spread?
Spread safer than just buying a naked option, call or put. Spread, you can limit. There's a limited exposure on the downside, and there's a limited exposure on the upside. But at the same time, you do not have to be absolutely right. You just have to be right in a range. So if you think something's going to go up in a range of $10, as an example, and as long as you're right and you're in that range, you're going to get your 2-3 times returns on a spread. If you have a debit spread, then it's even riskier because now they've given you money, and if things go the other way, then you owe them money. So spreads are good. I think they're safer than just buying call, straight up calls and puts.
So one question that I got, and this was kind of repetitive, was for IPOs that are newly released, should they be bought immediately? And if they are trying to buy it immediately and it goes up, for example, when Bumble came out, when Bumble IPO came out, it was at, I think, 40 something. That's the limit order I put it at, and it shot up to like 70 something.
Yeah.
And I had a few questions that people asked me, hey, are you buying it at 70 something? And I said, no, I'm not. What? Yeah. So is IPOs, when they do something like that, when they shoot up or they shoot down, is that something that you should go after? Now, mind you, to all the listeners, we're not financial advisors here. We're speaking from opinion, and Dave is speaking from his experience. I'm speaking from my experience. So we're not going to tell you what to do with your money. That's up to you. But I'm basically trying to answer some of the questions that the listeners have provided, asking specifically for Bumble. When I had probably a dozen questions at least I posted on Instagram. So it went up to 70 something. It was almost double. Now,
you don't want to chase IPOs. I mean, unless you happen to be part of the initial offering, you don't. The guys who got in at 45, you know, they were part of that, so they doubled their money. The retail guys like you and I, if we had bought it, we would have taken, you know, some losses, because I think it opened at 79 or something and it came down, give or take. So don't chase IPOs. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. It's appealing. Let it come out of the gates and cool down for a little bit and then maybe take a look at it. But I've never participated in an IPO, so it's too risky. No, I would rather miss it than chase it.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that shoot up, and then I had questions saying, hey, are you going to buy it at 70, or how long are you going to wait for it to drop? And I said, I'm just looking at it for the next 2 weeks to see how it trends. If it drops, then I might buy when it dips, but I'm not really interested in buying it when it might seem that it's kind of overvalued, in my opinion. So that's the other thing, where people are asking that there's overvaluation across the stock market right now for many different stocks. Like Tesla, they're saying Tesla is overvalued. Same thing with some of the IPOs that came out recently. They're overvalued, and they're saying that there is going to be adjustments made. Now, adjustments can take weeks to months, and it's not really fully done like in the snap of a finger, you know, and we don't really have the exact amount of what they're trying to adjust it at. What is your take on the overvaluation of the stocks?
Yeah, I think the market is, there are some aspects of the market are overvalued, I think. I mean, SPX is trading at, what, 23 times earnings? It's a little expensive, but listen, vaccination is on horizon, hopefully herd immunity by the end of the year. There's a lot of money in the market. People have a lot of savings, and the Fed is injecting money, so... in the long term, I think the market will go up. Of course, there are corrections here and there, and those may be good buying opportunities for some. And it could, Lord knows when that will happen, or if it will happen. But if you're an investor, it shouldn't really matter, right? I mean, if you want to get in and roll the dice. That's why I think an index fund is a better option than picking an individual stock. Because you're an investor, you know, I mean, if you want to put $1,000 in and wait it out for the next 10 years, you will make a decent return on it in the long term. Things may go down next month, but, you know, it will come back up. So the market is stretched in some aspects. Yeah, I have no idea. Tesla is an enigma that nobody can predict. So I'm not even going to try to get into it. can they live up to their expectations of selling so many cars and building this many factories? And time will tell, I guess. You know, I mean, they're very ambitious and they have really futuristic plans, and they may be successful at some point. And I know what they're trying to do is just scale, right? If they can scale their business and if they can get to certain numbers, everything will fall in place and it will be worth every penny the stock is at. So that's how I feel about the market. I think, yeah, it's overvalued and there may be some good buying opportunities. Market being this high, I don't know if you follow VIX, the volatility index, it's still hovering around 22, 23. So there is still some anxiety that, you know, are we going to be okay as the months come by, and are we going to be able to get this economy going fully at full speed, say come summer or late third quarter.
So another thing that people have been asking is, and this is really subjective, this is really more of a technical thing, but it's like, how do you know what to invest in if you don't want to do an index fund, if you don't want to do sort of, you know, an all around blue chip stock or S&P, Dow Jones or anything like that? Because personally, I've looked at the news, and not just like one channel of news. I'm looking at different channels of news, reading different articles to find out. I know we share articles sometimes on the current events that we see going on. And I remember when I saw the first kind of like just came out, Lucid Air. Lucid was looking to go public through Churchill, CCIV. And
yeah,
a lot of people got in at that time, and it's been going up. It's been going up, and it had a big jump when there was an announcement last week that said they're near completion on a deal.
I get it, and this is the thing about SPACs. They kind of like started becoming hot last year, but Lucid Air doesn't sell anything. If they do, they barely make any money. These people are never going to make money for the next 5-6 years. How can this be? I mean, I have no idea what it's worth today, but what is the market cap on it for CCIV?
CCIV market cap is, hold on, I'll pull it up. $13.2 billion.
Yeah, so that...
But that's like, you know, there's no revenue, right? So
absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So it's it's like when, so the one thing that about Tesla being overvalued is the amount of revenue they have compared to the market cap that they have does not add up.
Of course,
you know, it's
but it's a growth stock. So I think the idea is it will grow into the valuation, and someday this will all make sense, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, that's also expected, right? And if it doesn't happen as expected, that thing can tank as well.
Of course, anything, like anything. But you know, this is how silly the Lucid Air thing is, because Lucid Air is, what you said, 13 billion. GM is worth 75 billion, give or take. How the hell is this thing worth almost 17-18% of what GM is worth? That is preposterous, you know. So I don't understand SPACs. I don't get into them. Yeah, it's okay to trade, I guess, options on it if you're very confident. Buy some calls and, you know, pray. other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
I got my 3 incense sticks burning every morning. That's how I start off my...
Yeah, when you buy out of the money call options, you know, that's the thing, is you buy them and then you pray and see if you're right. And
yeah, I got my pre-market incense sticks.
So, yeah, specs is, that's not investing. I think that sometimes because of social media and Reddit and this GME craze and everything, and everybody wants to get into the market, and it's a contact sport. It's not pleasant a lot of times, especially when you're chasing And hey, look, CCIV is not going to keep on going up. It is going to come down. So if you did make money, get out, buy yourself something nice, you know.
Actually, I'm looking at CCIV right now, and it looked like it actually went down on Friday 8%, and after hours went up 3%. So
yeah, it's a volatile stock. I mean, it's, yeah, there's a lot of speculators and there's a lot of volume, and I get it. But how confident would anybody be to invest money into something that is not going to produce anything for the next 5 years? And for all we know, it could go bust. I mean, making cars is not an easy business, especially EVs, and considering they're all dealing with old technology. I don't think Lucid Dyer has any stunning battery tech that nobody else has ever heard of. So
no, it's well, they, I think it's the motor, that's the electric motor that they're really trying to push out. Electric, yeah, motor and, yeah, combination with their batteries, like 1,000 horsepower. But if you think about it, there's other vehicles that are coming out with that same sort of spec. For example, GM's coming out with that Hummer with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, GM is going to have a whole line of EV cars by 2035 or something.
Yeah. But it's like, for example, right? There, the whole difference between CCIV, where you don't have Lucid, where they don't have like an asset that they can back it up with, right? The whole market cap, there's no backup for it. While, for example, gold, on the other hand, it's a commodity. There's a backup for it. There's an actual thing there.
Yeah, the intrinsic value. I mean, yeah, I get it. But when people speculate, this is what happens, man. Things go parabolic, and there's no rhyme or reason behind it. So it's okay to be a spectator, but I don't know how confident anybody would be to be a participant.
So that actually reminds me of this recent episode that I did was in regards to social media influencers on, hey, this is what you should buy. These are the next 5 penny stocks that you should be adding to your portfolio, or yeah, this is the next GameStop. You know, this is the next meme stock or whatever.
Yeah.
I tried to sell on Instagram. I tried to promote my post, right?
Yeah.
And they rejected my recent one because they were saying that it had some of the language in terms of like investments, right? So obviously I'm not giving out advice. We're just simply talking about,
you may be retweeting or reposting something.
Yeah. But they were rejecting it because they thought I was trying to give advice, which I'm not. Kind of stating one of the issues that are out there, which is on social media, there's a lot of people that kind of think they know what they're doing. And
no, I don't know what I'm doing in the market most of the time.
Well, it's, you know, in that episode, I recommended anyone that's looking to invest to actually look into a financial advisor and just sit down with them, try to figure out where their finances are. Because the way that I explained it was, your finances is like health, right? Everyone's health is different.
Yeah,
right?
That's a very good point.
Yeah, so it's like your income, your current assets, your current debt, your credit score, your whole situation of, you know, like your car, your house, whatever it is, it's different for everyone. So when someone gets a pre-approval for $300,000 home at like 3%, and you have the same sort of income as them, same sort of credit score as them, but you're not getting that sort of approval, well, you know, there's other things that take factor. So it's,
yeah, there are many factors, you know. You're absolutely right. I mean, so, not everything is the copycat.
Yeah, so I feel like people need to really just talk to a financial advisor.
Best thing is go to a good financial advisor and map out a plan and let them do the work. I mean, they're professionals. They know what they're doing.
I mean, it's good to educate yourself a little bit on what's out there on the market. You know, 401k, your workplace offers, and an IRA, and the difference between a Roth and a non, you know, a conventional.
Well, yeah, see, that's my thing is, you know, instead of making money in the stock market, don't quit your day job. Let your 401k work for you and you know, go for that 15, 20-year retirement plan and, you know, pull that through because the market is a contact sport, man. I mean, this is...
Well, it's also good to have questions for your financial advisor because one of the things that they don't really mention is, like, you know, everyone says, oh, you if you take money out of your IRA or 401k, you get charged a certain amount. But that's not always the case. I think, you know, you can take out some of the contribution, not the profits. Like
the there are exceptions. Yeah, that's
why. Yeah, it's like some of these aren't really discussed out there. You know, I understand compounding interest and you want to keep the money in and that way, you know, whatever percentage you get, it builds up. But what if 10 years down the line, you do need the money and you're scared of taking the IRA out or partial because you're afraid of the fees, but there's different laws, different regulations, different rules out there. You know, that you can take them out for specific reasons like healthcare reasons and stuff like that. You can take it out, not fully, but partial. I feel like people need to read up on some of these things themselves and come up with really good questions that they can bring to their financial advisor and just have a good discussion saying, what can I do with my money so that in blank number of years or when I retire, I can take it out and I can use the profits for as a passive income or as my direct income. Because that's the other thing is that when you retire, you're not bound to do like 0 hours of work. You can do limited hours of work and still be retired. So you can have a partial, like, you know, I don't know exactly 15 or 20 hours. I forget what the number of hours you can work as a retiree. But then you can use this other income, your 401k or your IRA that you can cash out at a monthly pace as your passive income, and that way you're not feeling like you're in a financial burden. You know, it's different. There's a lot of different things, and I feel like a lot of people don't know the different options that they have, and they really should not really look at social media where some of these people are just saying, hey, this is how you get rich in the next 10 months, or just, you know, I started my Amazon drop shipping company and I made $1 million last year. You know, it's there's no such thing as a get rich quick scheme. You know, there's you got to work for it, and if you have a full-time job, you're better off taking the money that you can save and putting it in some sort of investment rather instead of like a savings account where you're going to make like less than 1% a year.
Yeah, I don't know how. Maybe I missed out. I don't know how to make millions of dollars in 10 months. So you could rob a bank.
I'll show you the different videos that I find, and it's just I don't listen to them. Like, you know, I don't take the advice, but I listen to purposes, because I want to see where these guys are going.
You cannot use social media for investment.
You know, some of these people are like, oh, I'm going to show you how you can make $50 an hour.
Like Schwab is on TikTok. Is Charles Schwab on TikTok? I doubt it, but you know.
Well, I'm sure
physically comes on TikTok, I would do it. Maybe Buffett is on TikTok, but
well, they're yeah, but you know, even when Buffett says things, it's there's things that he can do at his level compared to what we can do at our level.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Back in the 1980s when he put a bunch of money into Coca-Cola, and then he can literally like sit on the dividends.
Yeah, he's born fucking Buffett, man.
Yeah, he can sit on the dividends and be fine with it. And you know, we're here, it's like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna put $100 in Coca-Cola and collect my, you know, 23 cents of dividends every quarter. That's not gonna work. You know,
you know, Buffett's actually the one who always says always invest in an index fund, because his philosophy is the same. Nobody's smart enough to pick an actual stock, a winner at least. So pick the whole you know, index and the whole US economy kind of, and let it ride it. So yeah, I don't know the social media things too well, and I know, like, I've been following. I mean, I was on Reddit a long time ago, so I saw the GME craze, but I was never a participant. You know, I was a spectator, and
I knew it would go up, and I also knew it would come down.
And
now you see all the testimony that Roaring Kitty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
The CEO of Robinhood, they had to go through. They had these testimonies, and it's just, like, one thing that I see is, sure, these things that are happening on Reddit, it's public, right? It's not, this is not like a hedge fund that's behind doors that say, hey, you know what, let's all take our funds and throw billions in here, and it'll skyrocket, and then we get out right away and pump and dump that way, you know?
Yeah.
This was more of a public information, but at the same time, it's very risky because there are some people that benefit this more than others, and some people got into GameStop at like $300-something.
Yeah.
It's like, I borrowed $10,000 and I put it in GameStop when it was a $300-something, and now what's going on? You're not there.
You know, the thing about life is if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. So this is one of it. If buying GameStop at $300 is, that's exactly what you deserve. Is how can you? I have no idea. I don't know how anybody could buy something at that kind of money. But
like on my feed today, on my phone, I see all these. AMC is the next one, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't know about that. AMC would go up if I would say they're full open. And even after that, they still have to like be open for a good 6 months before a proper earnings report comes out saying that they're back to profits. You know, it's not, you know, when the movie theaters are open, not everyone's running to go there. It's a textbook place. You know what I mean? It's you're looking at if a business does well, the market cap's going to go up, stock's going to go up. It's kind of almost like common sense where people can scope it out, but I mean that's how people are looking at these other stocks, saying, oh, they're going to do such and such, so that's why it goes up. But these meme stocks, they don't have any backup towards it.
Yeah, I don't understand meme stocks either, you know, and that's why instead of buying a meme stock, buy something for your mom. Or your wife, you know.
Oh, one of the best ones that I saw on TikTok actually was today morning. It said make $50 an hour working from home. So this guy posted it, and it was a website that you go on and you sign up and you have to do these different tasks and you can make $50 an hour. You can make $50 an hour if it was consistent. You're not working 40 hours that consistent week, right? When you're doing that $50 an hour is probably 1 hour for that week. That's it.
But yeah, of course you cannot. I mean,
right? So some of these things are like, yeah, you get such high whatever amount an hour, but you're not consistent on that on a weekly basis, unlike a 9-to-5 job where you know you're kind of expecting what your salary will be. It's there, you know, you're working for that whole time. So that's the other thing with like drop shipping. It's if everyone does drop shipping, is anyone really benefiting if everyone does drop shipping?
Plus drop shipping, especially the Shopify model, it is very, very low margin business. You're barely making any percent, not even a percent, you're barely scraping off the top. So in order to be very successful in drop shipping, you have to invest a lot of money in marketing. And when I say a lot, just to be at the top of Amazon or whatever page you're trying to be at the top. So I don't know how somebody can make hundreds of thousands of dollars in drop shipping. There's just not that kind of margin in there.
Well, the other thing is that people aren't really explaining how much they make in terms of profits or wages, how much they're paying themselves. All they're saying is, I had such and such revenue. Revenue is great. you know, where if you had $2 million worth of revenue, sure. But if you had $3 million worth of expenses,
I mean, it's a $2 million revenue and then you have $1.9999 in expenses. So you barely make anything.
I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, you could have more expenses because, in order to get some of these things to sell, you have to promote them. You have to sponsorships and stuff. Yeah. So it gets very expensive, and there's a lot of competition. It's one drop shipper versus the other drop shipper. It's not like you guys are teaming up and you're all, hey, we're all drop shippers together. No, you guys are all against each other.
It's very competitive, and if you don't do anything for a week, you're not going to be relevant, and you know, you've just lost all this money in marketing. So I have no idea how people can make what they claim to make, but I'm sure some people do, but they've scaled it at such a rate that they could do it, but that you and we can't replicate that.
No, I don't have the time or patience to do.
Nor the product. I mean, I don't have the product either. So I mean, what the hell am I?
Well, that's the other thing about the products. That like, oh, use this app. You go to Marshall's. You scan every item, and then like they compare it to the price that's on Amazon. So they'll be like, oh, on Amazon this sells for $12, and over here it's for $4. Okay, so let's talk about the fees. Let's talk about how much you're making at the end of the day from selling that $4 product to Amazon or wherever it is, and they're charging you such and such amount for commission and everything, and you're not really making the full, you know, $8 that you were expecting. You make fraction of that.
Yeah, barely, right? If anything.
I mean, yeah, and you have to get really lucky with the
The time and effort of going to freaking Marshall's, like, who wants to go there?
And to scan everything. Nice. I mean, you gotta have.
Christ, who does this stuff?
Remember Avon? Is that still a thing?
I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person, man. I mean, I don't know if Avon is a thing, nor do I know if Herbalife is a thing. So,
is Avon? So I know how Avon worked. Was that a pyramid scheme?
I have no idea how it worked. I think I remember my mom used to buy lotions, and that's all I know about Avon.
Because I know it was like, okay, so you have the product, and you sell it to your family and friends, and now you don't have anyone else to sell it to. So what you do is you get a commission, or like.
It is a multi-living marketing scheme. Yeah,
you get
a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, you get a commission or a referral, as they like to call it, if you find someone else that can also sell. So then you go to someone else and say, hey, look, I'm making, you know, I made such and such on this month, or you can make such and such if you sell this product. It's very easy. This is all you, and they give you this product, you just have to order it, blah, blah, blah. And they sign you up, and now you're stuck. It's like, okay, I sold it to family, friends, now where do I sell it? Hey, look, I gotta find someone else that I can do this so I can get my referral too. And it's just a pyramid scheme where you could only make money if you find other people. It's just the only person that benefits is the person at the top. That I think exactly. That's a pyramid scheme.
I mean, you're just selling things to your friends and family, and then there's no business. So the dream is falling apart after that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people fall easily for some of these, and it's just, you know, realistically, there's no real get-rich-quick scheme. I mean, like, even the lottery, you know, some people get lucky. You know, my father gets lucky at times, but I'm not a lucky guy. So I'll spend $100 to make 50. No, thank you.
My brother has a good saying. He says lottery is, I think he read it somewhere, which is lottery is a tax on stupid people, you know, and because what are the chances of you winning the lottery, man? Come on. I mean, instead, save that money. It's okay to play out for passion, I guess, but don't spend a lot of money on a lotto, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
because it adds up. Every day you can spend 10, 20 bucks, and you know, in 30 days you just spend $600 and it'll auto ticket that.
Well,
you may not.
Well, so that's the thing. There's like the thing that people don't understand, the lottery, casinos.
I've never played lottery in my life, so I have no idea. So, I don't even know how to pick lotteries.
Well, I mean, there's different types. There's a scratch tickets. Yeah. And then there's, you know, you pick numbers. There's the number game, there's Mega Million, Powerball, and all these other different types of number games that all have, you know, Keno, where you pick a certain amount. There's different, you know, 1-1 to 3 ratio, 1-12 ratio. Like, if you get this number, there's...
No, I get all of that. It's speculation gambling, so I get it, but
at the same time, it's like, you know, these lottery companies, if you want to call them lottery corporations, they wouldn't be making money if the lottery was against them.
Well, I mean, the payout and the money they collect, and I get it, it also goes to good causes, like, you know, paying for school and a lot of other state budgetary functions. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of buying lottery tickets.
Yeah. What about casino? You like to play at the casino?
No. I like staying at the hotels. trying their food. And I like playing, you know, roulette like the next guy, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, I like roulette. Roulette has a better payout compared to...
Craps. My cousin Neil, he likes playing craps. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't go to casinos very often, so I do make it to Vegas, but I like the experience of the hotels and the food scene.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, we're not financial advisors here. We're just giving our opinion, our experience, just having to talk about it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. Please follow me on Instagram at SajanPatel1. That's SajanPatel1. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and like this podcast. This podcast is available on multiple platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and I also put on YouTube if you want to check it out there. Thank you for your support and have a nice day.